Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
You'll be shot for this!
This man will make your bladder splatter!
You ain't nothing!
Okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yin's Love Breaking Bad. We are going to recap every episode of the final season. There are 16 episodes. It will be broken up into 2 8-episode chunks, and we are going to try to do a recap for every episode, talking with a Breaking Bad fan. And if you would like to chat with me on Yin's Love, talking about Breaking Bad, you can email me at yinslove@gmail.com, or you could tweet me. And joining me today, a podcaster, a producer, a shooter, a lover of media, Mr. Mark Laux.
Jim.
Yeah.
Great to be here with you.
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, now did that.
And a fellow Yinzer.
And that's right. And a fellow Yinzer. So you may fall in love with that Pittsburgh accent.
That's right.
First off, Mark. Now, for the Yin's Love purists, you will know that Yin's Love started as a hockey web show and a football web show, and we would talk about our love for Pittsburgh sports. But we've decided to branch out, and so let's say if there is a Breaking Bad fan from Philly or a Breaking Bad fan from New York, they can join in on the fun now.
So, hey, including everybody now.
Yin's Love is for everyone.
Those Penguins games, you know, sometimes you have to make sense of those after the fact as well, so... you know, this all sort of fits in the same category.
And to me, when I watch Breaking Bad, it's like a great sporting event. I find myself cheering. I find myself clapping. I cover my eyes.
Right.
I say, no, why did you do that? What are you crazy? So let's break it down like a sports talk radio show. The first episode is called Live Free or Die. And sadly, we only have 15 more episodes of Breaking Bad left. So, Mark, I'm going to recap the episode. Feel free to jump in whenever. And I got to point out that if you are not caught up on Breaking Bad, you hit the pause button right now and leave this site, because we will have spoilers galore. All right, so here goes. Starts off with a flash forward 2 years into the future. Walt White sitting at a diner. And Mark is going to give us a great insight on this, but not just yet, Mark.
Okay.
So we know that Walt White is alive. We know that. Then it goes to the beginning. We see Mike in Mexico. Mike leaves Mexico. He confronts Jesse and Walt. He's like, you guys are idiots. You don't know what you did. Walt and Jesse convince Mike that they have to ruin the laptop because Gus recorded all of his surveillance footage on the laptop. Although... you know, Gus is a very thorough man, so I don't think he would leave all of that evidence just sitting in a fast food office. So long story short, they use magnets, bitches, to ruin the laptop. And then at the end, Walt has a piece of information over Skyler, and he says, I forgive you. And that was episode one. So let's discuss. Mark, a lot of hype. I don't know if there's been this much hype for a Breaking Bad season. The hype builds episode after episode, year after year. What did you think of episode one?
Well, first of all, I think the hype has built because the audience has grown. If you remember the first season, there weren't that many people who were actually watching the show. But as you know, Netflix and things like that, people have been able to see this show and see how great it is. So I think that's why there was so much pressure for this, you know, season premiere. For me... you know, it's kind of like seeing an old friend again. It's exciting. You know, no matter what, you're going to have a good time. And so that's what it was for me. It wasn't my favorite Breaking Bad episode of all time. Far from it. But, again, it was good to see my old friend and sit down at Sunday night and have a little time, you know, to just sit with it and just pure entertainment, Jim. Yeah, I do have a little bit of insight that I was able to gather just from the opening scene.
Okay, so let's break down the opening scene right now. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, the first four seasons of Breaking Bad took place in the same time period. That's why Walt Jr., although he gets a little bit older, is always 15 or 16 years old.
Right.
So it's always the same time frame. Opening scene, episode one, it's 2 years later. A little playback to the pilot episode when he takes his vegan bacon and makes the... Maybe Skyler does it, but he has the 50 in his bacon and eggs.
Right. I want to correct you, Jim, because I believe it's just 1 year in the future. And the reason I say that is because in the pilot episode, as you mentioned, it says Skyler makes a 50 with his bacon. This one he does 52.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm thorough, Jim. And I checked. you know, spoiler alert. Obviously, I checked the episode guide, and their episode four of this season is titled 51. So I'm assuming that we're going to see another birthday just in three episodes from now. It'll be Walt's 51st birthday, which makes me think that just here from present time in that world, he'll be 52. So I think it's just 1 year.
Okay.
Future. I'm not sure if that really affects any ideas you had about it, but
No. So from season one to season four, that was approximately 1 year of all that stuff happening.
Yeah, which makes sense to me, I think. I think they did a good job of sort of spacing it out like that.
All right, Mark, break down the opening scene.
So, obviously, it's a year in the future. Another thing that I noticed was that Walt was not wearing a wedding ring. Make of that what you will, but I think it's interesting to note, considering the rocky relationship.
Good catch,
with Skyler. You know, obviously his appearance is quite different. And to me, the opening scene was the most information that we got out of the entire episode, really, just because it gives us a glimpse into this idea that Walt is on the run. He's using a different name, Lambert, which, again, was Skyler's maiden name.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You're a great guest. You know what, Mark? You need to be on again. You're a fantastic guest.
It's just, honestly, it's just, you know, a lot of reading. You know, I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to Breaking Bad. But these are all tiny little, you know, tidbits that they put into this episode. Some of it, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't go anywhere, but it is interesting to note. Another thing I noticed, when he's in the bathroom, I believe it's after, and let me back up, he goes into the bathroom to exchange some money for a weapon. And I just thought of this now, but isn't Walt broke in present time in Breaking Bad, Jim? I believe
he's
broke. So that money, obviously, he's got stacks of it. And I'm assuming, like everyone else is probably assuming, that he's going to start cooking again because he's broke and he needs the money. And, you know, he's sort of also he's used to that lifestyle now, just having money to sort of buy his problems away. After he gets that weapon, obviously, he's looking into the mirror and he coughs.
Yes.
We haven't really seen.
Yes.
Recently. So that makes me think, okay, maybe the cancer's back. These are all things that we thought, you know, could happen. We thought he might be on the run. We thought last season he was going to be on the run. You know, we thought maybe the cancer could come back, if that's always been possibly in play. But he also is making money again, so he started cooking again, obviously. But that gun, I want to focus on that a minute. Who is that gun for? And, you know, why that gun and not, you know, something else? I don't know. But I think there's two showdowns. It's either going to be between Walt and Jesse or Walt and Hank. And, you know, I think you can make an argument and a very strong case for either one of those sort of showdowns. Jim, your thoughts on that?
Whew. Now, don't forget about Mike.
Well, Mike as well, but I don't think that the whole series would build and build and build for sort of a Walt and Hank showdown, and then it come down to Mike.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, maybe Mike teams up with Jesse.
I don't know. I think that's obviously where it's going. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but in the episode, I think you gave a pretty nice rundown of what happened. So I'm going to get into a specific really quick because it backs up a point that I have. Walt is sort of running around and he's getting rid of some bomb making materials and he's just trying to clean up after himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden light bulb goes off. He remembers that the Lily of the Valley plant is still sitting in his backyard. So he runs and he grabs that and he throws it into a garbage bag and that all goes into the back of his car.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't see where that car goes. And in fact, I think he just puts it there and comes back into the house. So what he does is he puts some sort of questionable material as far as bomb-making materials, and he puts that plant with it, immediately making it sort of suspect to why, you know, some bomb-making materials and then a plant. So to me, if Jesse would have come over and maybe they had a little barbecue in his backyard, he may have never noticed that Lily of the Valley plant. Even if it was pointed out, Walt can make a case that that is a very common plant to have
right.
in his backyard.
Right.
Now he's put it in the back of his car, where Jesse theoretically could be at some point, with bomb-making materials in a garbage bag. To me, that is a clear-cut, you know, evidence that Jesse is going to find out that that Walt was behind the poisoning. And so that makes me think that he's on the run, maybe from Jesse.
All right,
at this point.
Let me stop you for 1 second. I was at the Breaking Bad panel at Comic-Con.
Oh, wow.
And Vince Gilligan said that, he's like, I'm not going to give away anything. I'm not going to give away any spoilers. He's like, but there's a scene that happens in the trunk of a car. And he's like, that will reveal the clues for the rest of the 15 episodes.
Wow.
And he says, you are given everything that you need to know. However, you won't know it. He's like, but the key of the last season is in the trunk of a car.
There it is.
So you, wow,
yeah.
you picked
yeah.
that apart perfectly. And I also noticed that there wasn't a cover on the trunk. I believe it's one of those vehicles where the trunk has a windshield in the back.
Right.
So hopefully exactly. he goes back and he slips that privacy panel over the Lily of the Valley and the bomb-making materials.
Right.
Exactly. Now, I agree with you in the opening scene. Walt obviously has money. Otherwise, he wouldn't be tipping his waitress a $100 bill. and then he has a high-powered military machine gun that he has to learn how to use.
Right. Hey, maybe in a year he's learned how to use it.
Well, I don't think he does because he's like, well, is there a manual? And he's like,
I
got something off the internet. Another point that I was so glad that was addressed at the Breaking Bad panel was that gray matter, which has kind of been swept under the rug for the last couple of seasons, will be brought up in the first 8 episodes, according to Vince Gilligan.
What did he say about it?
The moderator said, well, will you go back to gray matter? And then Vince Gilligan, whenever he gives interviews, he always has a stock answer. He says, we use every part of the buffalo. He's like, yes, we will address that in the first 8 episodes. He's like, whenever we bring something up in Breaking Bad, we always address it again. Nothing ever goes unused. So, for instance, Ted Beneke running and breaking his neck last year.
Right.
You know, we came back to it in episode 1, and I'm so glad that Ted Beneke is not dead, because last season, that was one of the hokiest Breaking Bad scenes I ever saw, and I'm like, oh, no, come on. That's like the Three Stooges, like, whoa, I broke my neck and died! But I'm glad that he's alive.
Jim, let me stop you there, though, because I believe it was earlier in that season when there is a scene, seemingly a throwaway scene, where Ted Beneke is walking in his house and trips on that very same rug.
He does.
Episodes before. So it wasn't, it seemed hokey, but hey, it was still Breaking Bad.
Sure it was episodes before? Because I remember in that same episode.
Maybe it was
He tripped over that rug. But I like that they sold it, but still I'm like, that seems kind of convenient that this major problem for Skyler and he just trips and breaks his neck and dies, but he's not dead.
Right. And that's just going to be looming, you know, who knows for how long this season.
And that's an interesting subplot, because he looks scared, but we saw last season that Ted Beneke cannot be trusted. He got over $600,000. Did he pay off his debts? No, he bought a new automobile.
I will say that that is the one you know part of Breaking Bad right now that I would like to see go away. So maybe if he can get up, start walking, and trip again, then they. No, he's just a character. I understand his position, his sort of why he's in this plot, but at the same time, I'd rather see a strong character like we saw in Gus or someone like that.
Right.
Maybe another one will emerge. It's getting pretty late in the series for that to happen, but. You know, I hope there aren't too many sappy hospital scenes in this season. That's my hope, anyway.
Yeah, well, I think that Walt will be presented with a few options. And you may remember, too, that Ted Beneke was banging Skyler. So that, I'm sure Walt hasn't forgotten about that. So does Walt kill?
He forgave her, though.
Well, he said he did. he has one up on her now. Now, the question I have for you, Mark, is that he forgave Skyler for giving Ted Beneke over $600,000, but did he forgive her for getting plastic surgery?
This one you're going to have to explain to me because you sort of alluded to this off air. Because I didn't, am I just dumb that I noticed this?
Her nose is smaller.
I did not even notice it, Jim.
So the actress's name is Anna Gunn. I am not a plastic surgery expert. But,
sounds like you are, though.
But I am a Breaking Bad expert, and when she came on the screen on Sunday evening, I was like, wow, like, what happened to her nose? I'm a stickler for details, and I was wondering if Vince Gilligan, if he's secretly like, oh, come on, why'd you get plastic surgery? You ruined my series!
Hey, maybe there's more than $600,000 that she blew. There's probably something else in a diaper bag somewhere.
Right. So I don't know. I'm a stickler for continuity. Like, I work on a music video show, and I have to wear the same T-shirt even if we're shooting for 4 or 5 days. So you throw a big wrench into the works if you get plastic surgery and your face looks different.
Right.
But she was also thicker last year because she was pregnant. So I guess, you know.
I was going to say, if you're going to talk about, you know, sort of inconsistency, she has looked the most different. Even Walt Jr. has, you know, you can tell that he's grown up a bit. But, you know, I don't know whether they've done a pretty good job of making him look pretty similar to, you know, what he looked like in the very beginning.
Right. 16-year-old Walt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we watch for the writing and the story and the acting, and all of that is excellent. Mark, absolutely. Let me tell you what I liked. Because you always talk about seemingly throwaway scenes. I liked when they showed Mike in Mexico feeding the chickens. Because they didn't need that scene, but it reminded you why he was in the hospital in the first place.
Right.
Because he got shut up, and who saved his life? Jesse. And then in the very next scene, Mike has a gun pointed at Walt's face. Jesse gets in the way and he's like, listen, if you shoot him, you're going to have to go through me first. And then I like that they had the rooster scene because, you remember, yes, like, Mike still kind of owes Jesse. He saved his life.
That's right. And that whole dynamic has sort of been fun to watch because, again, Jesse teams up with an unlikely character like he did with Walt in the very beginning. And now, you know, it's with Mike for... I don't know why, but there's this sort of the circle is getting smaller and smaller for them to trust each other. So Mike knows that he can trust Jesse, and Jesse knows that he can trust Mike, if only because, you know, they are in a similar circumstance, and maybe the same goes for Walt. I didn't believe that Mike would ever actually kill Walt at that point.
And let's talk about the evidence. I mean, it made for a great episode, the whole magnets and... the whole setup, it was like a caper, a very innocent comedic caper. But do you honestly think that Gus would have left all of that evidence on his laptop in a fast food office?
Well, I mean, I don't know where he left it. I will say that as much as I appreciated the humor of that scene and sort of everything leading up to it, it definitely was a little over the top. I mean... look, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Is that it for the evidence? I mean, I think we clearly see that there's more in that evidence room. But he probably, if I'm going to guess, maybe he has something in Mexico. I imagine there are places that Gus, you know, had, you know, that we never even saw in any of the episodes as far as, you know, maybe he had some vault underground. I'm just speculating here, Jim, but I think, you know, maybe we didn't see all his hiding spots.
Okay, so the computer might have revealed something, but maybe not everything.
Right.
And then did you catch the scene where the picture breaks?
Wait, Jim, and can also I back up for 1 second? I you know, both of us work in TV, and I shoot a lot, and we load video and stuff like that, so we have some sense of what size of a video file, you know, we're dealing with, especially if you look at the quality of the video he was looking at on those screens. So I would imagine those are huge files.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm getting a little too nerdy with it, but those files had to have been huge, and I can't imagine all that time of them cooking could possibly fit on the hard drive of one computer.
Right.
Am I going over the top?
No.
Of it, maybe.
You would need external drives.
You would need some other drives. Yeah, you're right. So just based on the size of video files alone, I think that might be inaccurate to think that that was where all the video lives.
Now,
but hey, Walt doesn't know that. He doesn't edit video.
No, he doesn't. He's a scientist. But here's where I always rationalize Breaking Bad episodes. Like if someone comes up to me the next day and be like, that could never happen. I said, well, hold up. Listen here. If you go back to the Fly episode, a lot of people hated the Fly episode. But throughout the episode, for an hour long, Walt tries to kill a fly. Because if this fly gets into his lab, it's going to make his product less pure. So he thought about it, and Walt's very thorough, and he's like, all right, I know there's that laptop. It might have some evidence on it, so we got to get rid of it. So it's almost like he was trying to kill the fly.
Right. I think that's a great analogy.
What's your take on the broken picture? And there's a little bit of a, you can see like an address or something behind the picture.
Again, this it was part of that whole scene with the magnet, and I will say it reminded me a little of Indiana Jones or something that might happen in a scene of an Indiana Jones movie. Maybe it came to the Crystal Skull to even rub it in a little further, but I don't know. That felt like, a little over the top for me as far as I'm being critical of it, but at the same time, obviously that's going to lead to, it looked like a bank account of some kind, which I'm imagining is, you know, maybe that's another one of Gus's secret lairs. I don't know, but I'm assuming that that's going to play a big role. It seems like Hank right now is looking for something, and now that this whole incident with the magnet has happened, obviously there's someone still out there that Hank hasn't squashed, so he's going to want to find some reason to go after somebody. I don't think he's going to be content yet because he didn't think that, you know, Gus was the man.
Right.
To begin with. So
he's looking for Heisenberg. Heisenberg is still on the run.
Right. And while everyone is sort of content and thinks that they got their man, he's not going to be that way. So he's going to find any reason he can to sort of jump on another manhunt for Heisenberg.
And that was a fun scene because it's like, oh, you know, Walt ruined all the evidence. Uh-oh, another piece of evidence occurred. But I don't know how they do it at police stations, but I would think that they would take apart the frame and take apart the pictures to see if there was anything behind the pictures or whatnot. So I think eventually they would have found that information anyway.
Right. Maybe your next guest can be a detective.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we should have a detective on that watches Breaking Bad. That would be good. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, of course.
A couple more things that I got through the panel at Comic-Con. There's going to be a series of new actors that appear on Breaking Bad. And Bryan Cranston said that as the business grows, they've got to hire employees. And he says, a good business is only as strong as the weakest link. And that plot line plays out. Apparently they have a weak worker, and we see how that plays out in the final season.
Now, did he mention if it was someone that we already know, or this is definitely going, the weakest link is going to be someone new?
There's new, throughout the panel, I heard probably like three names of new actors or actresses that will be in Breaking Bad.
Right.
So we're going to see some new faces, and we're going to see some old faces again.
Oh.
Because I don't even know his name. See, this is bad. I'm doing a Breaking Bad podcast, and I don't even know his name. The skinny guy with the goatee that always wears, like, the skull hats and shirts.
That guy. I know exactly. Not Combo, the other guy.
Right. You remember Combo. But
right.
They said he has a talent And he gets to show off that talent in this season of Breaking Bad.
Very interesting.
So I'm excited to see his talent.
I imagine it's not one that you could, you know, sort of flaunt in public.
A couple more things before you go, Mark. What do I have written down? Oh, okay. What did you think? Because I always, whenever I watch Breaking Bad, it'll be like the first commercial break, and I'm like, crap, there's only like 43 minutes left. What am I going to do? And there's like 10 minutes
right.
left. And then the treat at the end is to see what happens next week. And once again, AMC pulls one of their dirty stunts, and we don't get to see next week's previews until after the first commercial break of Small Town Security. What gives?
As if we didn't see enough Small Town Security throughout the commercial breaks of the entire show. They made us sit through several minutes of it. And what? You know, I wasn't really paying attention, so I can't be, you know, a judge of that show, but it seemed out of place on the network. Regardless of that, yes, I waited and saw scenes from the next episode, although now they're cloudy in my mind because all I can see is scenes from Small Town Security.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are two schools there. It's 50-50 whether people actually want to see those scenes or whether they want to save them for next week.
Right.
So I'm always on the fence. If they're there, I'm going to watch them. You know, if not, I'm content to be surprised.
Okay. And you may remember...
AMC was up to some dirty tricks, for sure.
Yeah, you may remember for the season finale of season 3, they had, like, Rubicon attached to the end of it. And if you went to your program guide, it said that the last episode of Breaking Bad was an hour and 20 minutes long. So in my head, I was pacing the episode, and then when Jesse shot Gale, I was like, okay, well, we still have 20 more minutes. And no, the episode was done. It was a fabulous episode, a brilliant episode, but I was waiting for 20 more minutes, and then they went into Rubicon. I was like, no, like, you messed up my pacing, AMC, and they did it again.
I didn't notice that on the box at all, and I will say season 3 finale is probably my favorite episode ever of Breaking Bad, so I'm glad that I did.
I know. It was slightly marred for me.
That's unfortunate.
And then they didn't mess with the season finale last year, and they better not mess with episode 8 or episode 16.
I think they got it all out of their system. They knew there was going to be a big crowd watching, and hopefully, I knew there was going to be some sort of pilot attached to, you know, the end of Breaking Bad, so hopefully now they've got that out of their system.
I don't know, Mark. I don't know.
They're going to keep shoving small
season
down
8,
the internet.
Season 8 is going to be a must-see event, or I mean episode 8. Episode 9, when it returns, whenever that is, that's going to be a huge event. And then episode 16, you know, that's going to be the most watched episode of Breaking Bad ever.
Well, now you've learned your lesson, though, so you'll be prepared.
I guess I have to know. I guess I'll have to talk to someone. I'm like, is it going to be an hour long? Is it going to be an hour 15 minutes long? Two more questions, Mark.
Hit me.
Mike, Jesse, and Walt driving in the car together, cracking jokes, going to the police station, all three of them on the same team. Was it cool or was it campy?
You know, I could see why you would think it would be campy, but at the same time, those are three characters that we've all obviously come to really like, especially Mike in the last season or two. He's really developed as a character that we really sort of wanted to be on Walt's side. For a long time, at least I did. And if you think about it, now you have the recipe for probably a pretty good team in Walt the brain, Mike the muscle, and I guess Jesse would be the mover as far as, you know, making sure the drugs get where they need to go. So to me, that's a good base for a pretty solid team, and maybe you know, they can sort of pick up where Gus left off. It's going to be a lot trickier because I think, you know, like I said, Hank's looking for any reason he can to bring down Heisenberg. So they're going to have to cover their tracks. But I think, like I said, that's a pretty good base for a new Los Pollos Hermanos kind of
right.
Team.
But Mike's always so careful. So when he went away in the car and just left that car in the middle of the desert, I was like, what are you doing? It's a piece of evidence. And then when they're all together at Jesse's house, I'm like, what are you doing? You're all three together. And then, of course, they all go to the police station. I don't know. And then another thing, because Walt is so thorough, he was wearing that piece of tape over his nose. He was wearing the ski mask, but the nose bandage was exposed. But I guess if you want to rationalize things, Mike did squirt the security camera, so maybe they were never seen on the security camera.
I don't think that that'll ever come up to where they see them. Or the truck, you know, they said that they sort of covered their tracks there.
Yeah, well... Yeah, because Walt said, well, it's funny, too, how Walt has all these balls now, or his balls have gotten bigger, because Mike said, well, why aren't they going to trace that back or whatever? Or no, he's like, you don't even know that the computer was destroyed. He's like, yes, I do. He's like, how do you know? Because I said so. So Walt has taken the leadership role. He's the coach of the team now.
Right. I would say that there can't be that many junkyards with magnets that big. So if someone found that, they would say, okay, let's start here and move out and see which junkyard is missing a magnet. I mean, maybe they paid them off well enough to where they'll keep their mouths shut. But, you know, that's also, you know, I don't know how realistic that is, but that's why we watch it.
I mean, we might have to forgive that, because I was thinking to myself, well, the first place they're going to look is a scrapyard.
Right.
My final question, Mark, and thank you for joining me, by the way.
Of course.
On the first ever Yin's Love Breaking Bad. Once again, we're going to try to do one for every episode in the final season. If we miss an episode, then we'll just come back and we'll recap two or three episodes or however many we missed. Leading up to last year's season finale, you got a gig working with Bryan Cranston.
I did.
How was that?
He is one of the, and you know, my job is one like yours where we get to meet a lot of celebrities. But this was one that definitely was a highlight for me. And he was as nice as you could have imagined. I had seen interviews with him and listened to interviews with him. In fact, if I could plug really quick, plug maybe is the wrong word, but listen to his interview with Marc Maron on the WTF podcast. It'll give you a great insight to his acting career. But I had listened to that, so I had some sense of his personality. He was every bit of that and more. I spent about an hour with him in a room doing some promos for Breaking Bad. I was shooting them for him, and it was actually the week leading up to the season finale last year.
That's perfect timing. That's just brilliant timing.
It really was. And I didn't plan it, I promise. But we were kicking around theories, and he was genuinely interested in our theories. And not only that, he started to talk about how he prepares for each show. And he said that he never reads a script ahead of the one that they're on. So leading up to this episode, before they shot it, he only read that episode so he could live it as he was sort of acting it. And so, you know, then he moves on and he'll read the next script. But he doesn't read ahead of in the story just because he wants it to be authentic. I think that shows through. And I liked that little bit of information I got out of him when we spent an hour together. But, yeah, great guy. It's one of those things where, you know, you meet an actor that you really think is phenomenal. And, you know, maybe they're going to be, you know, a jerk to you. He was amazing, and it made me like the show even more. So,
now, were any of you right about your guesses for the season finale of season 4?
I can't even remember what my guess was, but I remember it was wrong. Oh, you know what? I think I was in denial about Walt doing the poisoning. So I was obviously way off. And
okay.
he told us while we were just chatting that there would be a scene in that finale. He said the last scene in the finale, he's like, I'm not going to give anything away, but the last scene, there's a slow zoom in an area that you're familiar with inside of the show. There'll be a slow zoom onto something, and you'll say, oh, my God.
Wow.
And that's my Bryan Cranston impression.
Wow.
And he was right. And
he was right, yeah.
Scene, when that scene came up, you know, obviously he was right. He had seen it, and it was amazing. So, yeah, he was a great guy. It was definitely a career highlight.
And that rings back to Vince Gilligan's tease during the panel. He's like, something in that trunk is going to give it all away. You're not going to know what it is, but it's going to give it away. And then when they finally reveal, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, you'll have to join us again.
I'd love to.
Okay. Keep watching. Now, do you watch on Sunday nights?
Have to watch on Sunday nights. Sometimes I'll wait until 10:20 so I can fast forward through the commercials. Maybe that's a tip you should do.
Okay. See, I'm afraid for some reason the HD AMC on my TV always freezes up. So if I do have to record it, I record it on standard definition. But I will watch in HD. But I guess it's only when I record it kind of like stutters a little bit.
Well, you're covered if you do the SD as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mark, continue watching. I look forward to hearing your thoughts and opinions as this season unfolds.
Thank you. And I'm still waiting for that Yins Love the Pirates.
Maybe,
it's getting closer. Maybe it's playoff time.
Maybe if we make the playoffs. So,
all right, I'm holding you
for
to
Mark
that.
Laux, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.